It's hard not to think in clichés, to be original. If you've been celebrating Christmas for 50 years or more, 60 years or more, the danger is that it becomes all a bit predictable. And predictable equals boring. We want to be surprised. When you are Israel, beaten up and beleaguered, maybe you think you know what you need. A Jack Reacher to beat up the bullies, that's what you want. Observers have noticed a move to populism, an embrace of strong men and occasional women across the world. Orban, Xi, Putin, in his day, Trump. This will make it right. This is how we do it. This is how we make our country great again. Bluster and bombast, posturing and sabre-rattling. Really? Mind you, even within the Christian faith, it's easy to confuse certainty with truth, to mistake strong conviction with validity. People do it all the time. They say, we have doubts enough of our own, questions enough of our own. You give us certainties, please. You give us cast iron answers, and then you can count us in. Give us the whole package. We're too tired, beleaguered, to make a journey. Not for us, pilgrimage. Give us prompt arrival at our destination with our suitcase full of certainties. Not for us, the cold edges of questing. Give us instead the warm centre of knowing. So it happens. A charismatic church leader, a guru with a will of iron, is forgiven the lack of a tender heart. The brusque declaration that it's my way or the highway is chosen over gentle wisdom and patient compassion. Grandiose, confused with true greatness, magnitude with spirituality. You get the picture. Maybe instead of anticipating the long-expected Jesus, we should have our eyes open for the unexpected Jesus. The unexpected Jesus. I remember the shock of reading a headline that says, Jesus jettisons City for Arsenal. When the Brazilian striker Gabriel Jesus swapped football clubs. That was the headline. Or the first time I saw a sign above a jewellery store on a Geneva High Street. Christ. Or another headline sent by a friend. Then the lorry hit Jesus. In South America, a religious parade for Holy Week. There was a terrible crash and a shocking headline. Then the lorry hit Jesus. Can it happen for us, Jesus, in unexpected places? That we find him where we least expect him? It can perhaps when we allow certain moments to reach us. In times of reflection, in particular places, a magnificent cathedral with stained glass windows of shocking loveliness, a mountaintop, a sunset splashed across the lake, the dark vault of a winter's night lit with a billion stars. If we are listening at these moments in those places, he speaks. When people demonstrate care towards us, gather around us in loving support, when people challenge us and rebuke us with important truths, if we are listening, he speaks. We glimpse his glory in moments of private devotion, stillness, when for a while we hush our busy lives and have the discipline to wait on him. He comes to our life. We glimpse his glory as we immerse ourselves in his story, in places of holy pilgrimage, where the mood is set and the whole experience is baptized in the countless prayers of the people. Something special here, something sacred. We need to be open to more of those journeys, more of those opportunities. He speaks to our heart and we know it, in worship and through preaching, a healing, challenging call that can bring a word of comfort or a summons or inspiration or hope. The New Testament, with a shocking daring, invites us to meet him somewhere very different, somewhere very unexpected. A journalist writes these words. In Aleppo last week, I met so many Marys and Josephs who just wanted a place to rest. But most of all, I met Jesus. I met Jesus in the child I held, in the old woman whose hands I held, in the mother who begged for help, in the hundreds of children who huddled together, wet, cold, hungry and afraid. Again and again, I had to tell myself, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. But Jesus is not just in Aleppo. He is in Myanmar too. He's there with the scared, hungry and persecuted Rohingya. He is at the immigration offices. He is in the poor parts of the inner city, trying to make a living. He hurts when people, especially those who claim to follow him, assume that just because he is poor, speaks with a different accent, wears unfamiliar clothes, he cannot be trusted. Jesus, this Christmas, will we allow him to come to us? Here's another disturbing and wonderful thing. People tell of times when they have encountered or been encountered by the unexpected Jesus when they were not looking, when they were in the midst of the ordinariness of their life. Teresa of Avila's cell is a cold, hard place, without art or colour, bare, uninspiring. But she met her Lord there in a profound and life-shaping way. No cathedral grandeur, no frescoes, no soaring music, just naked silence, emptiness of soul, profound need. I remember a woman telling me with acute embarrassment but absolute certainty how she, not a believer, had had a bad fall in her kitchen and was lying on the floor bleeding and afraid. She told me, Jesus spoke to her, was present for her with such reality and love, bringing profound peace, that this unbeliever became a believer. Her life was turned around. A woman utterly rational and never having told anyone about her experience before. She had been surprised by joy. The unexpected Jesus, as real to her as I was sitting in her living room. Who was to say nay? People have told me, calm, rational, real, down-to-earth people, that they have experienced the living presence of Christ at the end of their hospital bed, in the days following a bereavement, in different ways, always unexpected, always surprising. I know three things about these experiences. Everyone was shy to speak about them, in case I thought they were deluded, though I knew them to be perfectly rational people. Normal, measured, reasonable. And the third thing, on hearing their wonderfully confirming experience, each time I was reminded of the fact that I've never met Jesus. Though maybe I have and I just didn't notice. Like Jacob, under a billion stars in the aching emptiness of the desert, realizes, surely, he says, the Lord is in this place and I never knew. The unexpected Jesus, lullabied to sleep by the sound of snuffling cattle in a Bethlehem stable. Who would have thought? The unexpected Jesus on his knees washing feet. Who saw that coming? The unexpected Jesus stretched in ugly humiliation on a cross of all places. The unexpected Jesus risen and smiling in welcome on a beach. And gradually there dawns in us the realization that actually this way of Christ is not what we thought it was going to be like. We would have thought it would be sent him victorious, happy and glorious. We imagined it would be nice, splendid, proud, safe, not a blood-soaked botch-up, with the bringer of his truth, brought by his truth, to become friendless, alone, battered, humiliated. No, this makes no sense. Give me guns. Give me missiles and money, and the capacity to crush my enemies, not love them. Build walls, not bridges. Flaunt your muscles, don't turn the other cheek. Threaten, don't forgive. This is what people expect. What people expect. The idea of Christ in humility and vulnerability, coming to claim his crown of thorns and his throne of blood-stained wood, when people want men of steel, ruthless, single-minded, not carpenters who ride donkeys. When people respect power, naked, raw power, they are dismissive of those who kneel to wash the feet of others. Yet, there it is. There he is. The poet John Betjeman reminds us of another surprising place we discover the presence of the unexpected Jesus. The bells of waiting Advent ring, the tortoise stove is lit again, and lamp oil light across the night has caught the streaks of winter rain in many a stained glass window sheen from Crimson Lake to Hooker's Green. The holly in the windy hedge and round the manor house, the yew, will soon be stripped to deck the ledge, the altar, font and arch and pew, so that the villagers can say, the church looks nice on Christmas Day. Provincial public houses blaze and corporation tram cars clang. On lighted tenements I gaze where paper decorations hang, and bunting in the red town hall says, Merry Christmas to you all. And London shops on Christmas Eve are strung with silver bells and flowers as hurrying clerks the city leave to pigeon-haunted classic towers, and marbled clouds go scudding by the many steepled London sky. And girls in slacks remember Dad, and oafish louts remember Mum, and sleepless children's hearts are glad, and Christmas morning bells say come, even to shining ones who dwell safe in the Dorchester Hotel. And is it true? And is it true? This most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me? And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around these tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent, and hideous tie so kindly meant. No love that in a family dwells, no carolling and frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells can with this single truth compare. That God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine.